The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. It is the second half of the program, and this next man is about to head down the stretch, as nobody does it better than Mel Kiper, who has been breaking down the NFL draft for more years than almost all of you have been alive, with the exception of me. Mel, it's great to have you back on the program. It's been too long, and how have you been?
Paul, been good, pal. Yeah, it's Mach 2.0 coming out tomorrow, so we can get into that a little bit today. But, 43 years covering this draft, Paul, and it's the most, I've said, mysterious from day one back in August, and it'll probably be the most entertaining draft to prepare for and deal with, because there's so much uncertainty and so little information on players. We've never had players come into this month of March knowing as little as we do about them.
And obviously, last year most of the heavy lifting had been done. Let's start with the combine. I mean, we had the Senior Bowl, which is somewhat limited, and of course, it doesn't deal with everyone. But without a combine, what does that do?
Makes the pro days very important. And the thing there is, Paul, only teams can have only three individuals, representatives, be at those pro days. So you can't have everybody there. Remember, opt-outs, the players who did not play, you could have no contact, zero contact with those players. You say, well, could you go work them out? Could you check on them? No, you could not. So what type of shape are those players in? What have they been doing all year on their own, wherever they are training? So that's the tough part, is trying to take a player, say like Caleb Farley, cornerback Virginia Tech, and compare him to Patrick Surtain from Alabama, who did play, to take a Jamar Chase from LSU, who didn't play, as opposed to Devontae Smith, who played and played great. How do you separate the opt-outs from the guys who played and played really well? And then, of course, the pro days, it's not the combine. And we right now would be at the combine normally. We're not. So again, Paul, with the opt-outs and the interrupted season for a lot of players, obviously having to deal with COVID and not practicing, not playing, missing different scheduling opportunities for this or that, it makes it very difficult to go into late April in the NFL draft and feel very comfortable with the kind of picks you're making.
Let's start at the quarterback position, because that's where most people look at the top of the draft. I know you got a lot to do tomorrow. I'm not trying to preempt that, what's the conversation about Trevor Lawrence right now in Jacksonville?
It's a certainty. You keep hearing different things about other quarterbacks like Zach Wilson. We've heard that before, Paul. You heard the RG3 with Andrew Luck. You heard Ryan Leaf with Peyton Manning, Rick Meyer with Drew Bledsoe. This has been going on for a long time, where they always, try to find a way to move somebody ahead. There may be somebody out there who likes one over the other. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, they say Peyton had, well, they're 50% of the league like Ryan Leaf better. You go to Andrew Luck. Everybody, wasn't Andrew Luck. There were a few that liked RG3, so maybe a few say, hey, Zach Wilson may be a little better. I'm not buying that, but you may hear that. But I think Trevor Lawrence certainly is locked in. He's my fourth highest rated quarterback ever, Paul, in 43 years, with only a few ahead of him, which would be John Elway, Andrew Luck, and Peyton Manning are the only three ahead of where Trevor Lawrence will finally grade out for this draft.
That's amazing. And I'm not surprised, but I'm more surprised by those who are wondering whether he'll be the number one pick. After that, it gets interesting, Mel, as you know, especially at the wide receiver position, because I mean, I see Jamar Chase, who didn't play. There's Devontae Smith or other players. How do you delineate the wide receivers in this draft?
It's a great question, Paul, because it's Miami complicating matters by having Tua. So if you have the quarterback with Devontae, do you give the edge there to Devontae Smith over Jamar Chase? Jamar Chase gets down to Philadelphia. Well, you also have, if Devontae Smith gets to Philadelphia, you have Jalen Hurts as the quarterback with the Eagles. So Devontae is going to be playing with an old quarterback one way or the other, it looks like, Paul, barring a trade that affects this whole part of the draft, the top part, which could be a Deshaun Watson trade, obviously, or trade-ups and trade-downs. But I think when you look at the receivers, separating Devontae Smith and Jamar Chase, virtually impossible. Some like Chase because he's bigger. Bigger doesn't always mean better. You remember Marvin Harrison dropped until around the 18th pick, had a Hall of Fame career. It was the same year Keyshawn went number one, the bigger receiver. Now, Keyshawn had a heck of a career. Marvin Harrison's he had a Hall of Fame career. So both teams did well, but Marvin dropped because I was with him at the Hula Bowl. He was a lean 179, 182, and look at Devontae, same type of thing. So I think Devontae, Jamar, 1 and 1A there, you take your pick, and then you get into who the third receiver is. Is it Kadarius Toney from Florida, or is it Terrace Marshall Jr., or is it Jalen Waddle? Obviously, to me, it's Jalen Waddle. There's no concern. There's no debate there. To me, that's obvious. I think Jalen Waddle would have been equal to those two had he not had the injury on October 24th, which means either Marshall or Toney fall in at 4 or 5. There's debate over who you like there. I have Toney slightly ahead of Marshall. So those are your five, in my opinion, Paul. Those are your five first-round wide receivers, with Waddle figuring somewhere around that 11th spot to the New York Giants.
I don't know why I'm still shaking my head. The idea of those two Alabama players in the top six, I realize Waddle missed the second half of the season. But I'm interested in Devontae Smith, though, because – yeah, you've been watching him. We've all been watching him for a couple of years, ever since he had the walk-off touchdown. But what happened to him this year? What made him so great?
I think a couple of things. Being there as long as he was, the work ethic and the passion for the game that he has, the fact that, like I say, I was with Marvin Harrison at the Hula Bowl, Paul, and when he walked into that locker room, this is the Hula Bowl now, where it's kind of a little bit of fun and games it was at that time. It wasn't like the Senior Bowl, and he came in ready to work. He had that business-like approach. It was all football. He wasn't looking to go into the beach. He wasn't looking to go out on the cruises. He was all football, and that's all Devontae Smith thinks about, and I think that's what allows him over the course of from going from 1 year to that, to make that gradual progression to the point where he was great this year. And even without Jalen Waddle, and they could focus on him, he was still uncoverable. And that speaks to also why Mac Jones is up there. Mac Jones didn't have Jeudy, and he didn't have Ruggs, and he didn't have Waddle after October 24th, yet he was lights out. So again, I think Devontae, the route running, the precision, the competitiveness, he had a couple drops, and ironically, the one drop in the national championship game led to him getting hurt. Had he not, bobbled that ball, he doesn't get hurt. But Devontae, to me, is a special entity. I compare him to Marvin Harrison. And I think if he's closer as good in the NFL as what Marvin Harrison was, whether it's the Dolphins, whether it's the Eagles, whoever gets Devontae Smith is going to be awfully happy.
Emil, you mentioned Mac Jones, and he's someone that entering the season back last spring, we weren't even sure he'd be the starter. What do you hear from your sources and scouts and GMs about him?
He's a tough one, Paul, because he was so great. I mean, he kind of did what Burrow did. He went from, Burrow at least played the whole year, but it wasn't nearly what he was that final year at LSU. Had all that great talent around him. The difference with Burrow is Joe can beat you with his legs. Running the ball can beat defense. He did it against Alabama. He did it in the NFL. He was effective running the ball. That's not Mac Jones's game. So I think there's a difference there, but only 17 starts for Mac Jones. That's a concern, no question about that. Does he fit the way the game's played today? Well, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl when he was 43 years of age, and Drew Brees was still winning at 40, 41. So, to say that the pocket passer that doesn't run is a dinosaur, I think is not accurate. I think Tom Brady proved that. So, to me, yes, you would prefer to have a more mobile quarterback, but I think Mac Jones, his accuracy to all levels was unbelievable. He's incredibly intelligent. He's a winner. He's so competitive. He checks a lot of boxes, except for he doesn't run the great 40, doesn't have the great athleticism. But we said the same thing about Tom Brady when he came out of Michigan.
Mel, I know every GM and every head coach look at things differently, but this may be a record, it may not be, but it seems like I'm seeing so many Alabama players in these mock drafts. When you're drafting a Nick Saban player, does that mean anything to these guys, or are they just looking at the individual?
Means a lot, Paul. I mean, when you see as many New England Patriot, Alabama players, New England, Belichick has drafted more than anybody. He's got 10, Alabama, LSU, when Nick was there. So this is Nick Saban players that Belichick has drafted. I have 6 going in the first round, with Najee Harris going early second. I had Najee going to Buffalo in the last mock, so that would have been 7, Paul. So, nobody else has more than 2. Think about that. No other team, no other program, LSU 2, Penn State has 2, Miami of Florida 2, Virginia Tech 2, and Florida 2. Alabama has 6, could have been 7. SEC has 12. Next best conference is the Big Ten with 5 and the ACC with 5. So that's why the SEC dominates and Alabama dominates. But I think when you look at the Alabama players, they're coached so well. It's such a professional NFL atmosphere down there with everything they do. It used to be people say, well, they're coached up there to the point where they have no upside. Well, that's been proven wrong. So, again, every program's going to have guys that don't live up to the hype. But Alabama has supplied the NFL with a tremendous amount of talent. To just go back to Mac Jones, Paul, the consensus is he's going to go pretty high. Top top 15. New England picks at 15. You could give them there. You give them to Carolina at 8. Obviously, if they end up with Deshaun Watson, he's not going to go there. But they were with him at the Senior Bowl, Matt Rhule was. And I don't know how Matt Rhule couldn't come away from the week at Mobile. Very impressed. If you like Mac Jones going in, he loved him coming out.
And what we've seen something interesting this year. Two recently fired NFL coaches, head coaches, on Saban's staff. I realize this is maybe a better question for next year, but I'm interested in how that plays into this, because you just mentioned the professional atmosphere. It's been ratcheted up even more now.
Yeah, no question about it. I think when you look at with bringing in the coaching staff that he put together, Paul, and he's always been able to do that, Nick, you know, bringing in even a Butch Jones and having him do what he did, bringing in Sark when he brought him in. He just wants these knowledgeable guys who are coming in with something to prove. They're trying to get reestablish themselves, and I think he knows that. I'm giving you an opportunity to get back to where you want to go, and look what happened with Sark. Now he's head coach at Texas, and you see that with a lot of the assistants he was able to bring in. Butch Jones now a head coach at the collegiate level, so it's great opportunity for people who are kind of, you know, O'Brien had Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans up 24-0 in the second quarter last year in 2019 against Kansas City Chiefs, and all of a sudden now look where they are. The Hopkins trade and everything went awry. So I think you try to reestablish these coaches, and they come in with an idea that, hey, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do what it takes to get myself back to the top or where I want to be. So it's work, Paul, and it's allowed a lot of these coaches, like I say, to reestablish themselves and move on from there to where they wanted to be, which is head coaches.
Mel, it's always great to have you on. I know. I hope we're able to talk again as we get closer to the draft. But it's just amazing. 43 years. That is an extraordinary career, my friend. That's really stunning.
Well, Paul, we got a new name this week. I just found out yesterday when I was doing the podcast. I'm now senior NFL draft analyst.
Yeah.
So when you hit 60, you become a senior analyst. So there you go, Paul.
Well, there are some advantages. Hey, I know the feeling. Hey, Mel, thank you very much. It's great to have you on.
Great talking to you, bud.
Wow.
You're the best. Take care.
What a treat that is. I do remember vaguely the first time I talked to Mel. I was early in my radio career, and this guy was literally doing it out of his broom closet in Baltimore. And look at him now. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 and more guests as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Great to have you here. Jeff is in Virginia, and you're on the air. Hey, Jeff.
Yes, my question is about the one and done. I wonder if the NCAA could tie it around to, because I think it's hurting college basketball as a whole, because a lot of these players are NBA kind of players, tie it to the overall GPA of the team. I know there's some scenarios where that's in place. What is your thought on that?
So I'm trying to make sure I understand the proposal. So what would the GPA have to do with whether they could leave or not?
Well, I think it would effectively speak to a coach that's all they go get, because there's two or three programs. That's basically what they're recruiting, only the one and done.
Right.
And it's kind of my thought of flash in the pan. So overall, I think it's hurting college basketball, my personal opinion,
okay,
and other people's, I think.
Yeah, I remember, who was the player at, was it Ben Simmons at LSU a couple of years ago that you know, the second the season ended, I mean, he was done. He quit going to class.
Right.
And I do think it's a concern, but I will also say this, and I think Mike Krzyzewski and John Calipari might back me up on this. The one and done has not been kind lately. You know, I think COVID, it's had a tremendous effect. COVID has had a big effect on it. And even before that, there were some, you know, with a team like Virginia and others, their signs are that the one and done may be cycling out. Now, if you get the, you know, the Zion Williams or the Ben Simmons, you may be able to overcome that, although neither Duke or LSU did overcome that. They still, LSU struggled and Duke did not make it to the Final Four. Hey, thanks for the call. Jason is up next in Athens, Georgia. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
It is great. Thank you.
Do you know who the all-time leader in triple-doubles is at the University of Georgia basketball?
I do not.
It is Sevier Wheeler.
No kidding.
He got his first triple-double last night. And he's now the leader. if that says anything about Georgia basketball.
Even beyond Dominique Wilkins, huh?
I know, not even Ant-Man from last year. But, you know, just talking with Mel Kiper, glad you had him on. I think he's the best in the business. But can you imagine with Alabama, they may have three starting quarterbacks, Mac Jones and Jalen Hurts now that Carson Wentz left, and Tua down in Miami that are going to start next year. And they used to be in the same quarterback room.
And Jason, I'm doing the math. I mean, there have not been many Alabama starting quarterbacks in the NFL for a sustained period of time, maybe for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. But that has always been the weakness in Alabama.
You think about the first three, Saban national championships, and it's hard to remember who the quarterbacks were, you know?
Well, I can tell you it was Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron, and Jake Coker.
Yeah, exactly.
But now, A.J. McCarron won two of those, by the way. But those are the first three. I mean, it's, you know, of the six, it's McElroy, McCarron with two, Coker. Then you had Jalen Hurts / Tua, and then obviously Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, what I really came to talk about is all the Kirby Smart talk, you know, talking about. You know, obviously, we all really think it's ridiculous, you know, to even talk about him being, you know, anybody different at Georgia. But we keep talking about getting over the hump, which I want more than anybody to. But I don't think we talk about enough how much of a role model is Kirby Smart is, you know, with his players, how he connects with families. And that's why he is such a great recruiter. And really just like the face of the program that we have, I think he's a great role model. And a lot of people look up to him, and he does a lot of stuff to stand with his players in the community. And I think that's overlooked. You know, obviously we all want a title, but you got to think about those factors too when looking at a coach.
Jason, if you had that, if you said to me, okay, look at all the SEC head coaches today and who will be in that position 20 years from now, I would say Kirby Smart would be my first pick. I don't think he's going anywhere, and he doesn't want to go anywhere.
I agree, Paul. And it's funny, the last time I called you, actually, I was asking, you know, about James Franklin, if you thought, you know, if he lost every game, would he be out or not? And you're like, I don't know. Next weekend, he gets smacked by Missouri and he's gone.
Well, hey, Jason, I'm glad you brought that up about Kirby, because I think he does not get enough credit. And unfortunately for Kirby, he's created a monster there with such success so quickly. Fans, and it's okay. Fans should expect it. I mean, this is a top five. I mean, Georgia is a top five program. There's no getting around it.
I agree. And I'll tell you this right now. Darnell Washington, most underused player last year. Expect him to have a breakout year.
I will mark it down. Thank you for the call. Charlie is up next. Good to have you on. Thank you. Charlie is up next in Chicago here late on Wednesday afternoon. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. I'm an African-American 62-year-old man, and I just want to thank you. I had saw you on the other network, maybe about 3 years ago, and came away with an unfair understanding of you. And to let you know that, man, I just listen to you every day, and I just wanted to go over the Big Ten with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, they always tell the old adage for every lawyer is never ask a question you don't know the answer to. So my curiosity is my curiosity is getting the better of me, though, before we get to the Big Ten. What did you see that you came away with a negative impression of?
Well, I saw a thin, I felt country, older guy from the South.
Right.
And I just miss, you know, when it went through the Black Lives and your response to that, and how one day, I don't know, it was back in the summer, you did about a 2-minute diathon on how the SEC, and particularly college football, needed to do. And I thought that was, man, I started crying when I heard you talking about that. To hear that come from you, I believe is just, man, it just tells me strength about who you are.
Well, thank you, Charlie. I asked you that because I've had friends, even at the company I work who had me typecast the same way. And I never try to influence what someone thinks of me. But yeah, I think sometimes the worst judge of someone is themselves, because I know where I'm from. I know the way I was brought up. But you can't sell people on that. You have to prove it. You know, my background does not matter. What I do, what I say today matters.
Yes, and I just want to let you know, and 62-year-old man, you got a great thing in here. Like I said, I listen to you almost every day, and
thank you.
It's just wonderful.
Who do you follow in the Big Ten?
Now I graduated from Purdue, so I'm following Purdue a little bit now with basketball. But how do they look coming out, Nick? Last year was not a good year for us.
No. Yeah, the couple that lives across the street from me right now, Charlie, are both Purdue graduates. And I must tell you, the number of Purdue graduates I've spoken to in my life, I think, is now up to 3 or 4. But I mean, the Big Ten right now is a monster, and I think that's really the issue. You have, Michigan State last night pulling a big upset. Illinois, Ohio State, and Michigan are 3 of the top 5 or 6 teams in the country. I've always been a fan of Purdue. I remember meeting early in my career when I covered a lot of basketball, Gene Cady, and I was intrigued by Purdue. I've only passed through. I drove from Chicago to South Bend once, and I'm pretty sure I went through West Lafayette, and it was kind of a blur, to be perfectly honest with you. But I am impressed. It has a great basketball tradition there.
Yes, when I went to school, Joe Barry Carroll.
Oh yeah.
Was a freshman along with me, and I remember when. Magic came to West Lafayette. I knew then that Michigan State had a better team.
that wasn't hard to figure out, was it? I think we lost Charlie. But Charlie, thank you. If you can still hear me, thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We will continue this conversation later. Always great to have you on. Mike Morgan from the SEC Network in the final hour. More of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we're back. Great to have all of you here. Mike Morgan in the final hour, previewing tonight's big college basketball games in the SEC. The headliner, of course, in Fayetteville, but there are some other really important games, and Mike will give us a preview of all of that coming up shortly. Let's continue with more of your calls. And Ray is in Illinois. Hello, Ray.
Hi.
Hey there.
Yes, I think it's a one and done is just killing college basketball. I mean, I'm a Kentucky fan, and once Calipari came there, he made the comment right offhand that he wasn't there to win championships. He was there to develop players for the NBA. Well, he makes millions of dollars, and I guess he kind of has forgotten who pays his salary. It's the fans. And the way it's looking in Kentucky, the attitude that they're getting is they don't care whether they come and watch them play or not. If it wasn't for the virus, I think the Rupp Arena wouldn't be half full. If they did, they'd be booing. And the NCAA is supposed to be contemplating making a rule where the players can transfer without setting out a year. And all of this is going to do is just make money under the table that they're going to pay players to jump from one team to another.
Well, Ray, I appreciate it. Appreciate your call. It's been a busy show. We had a fantastic conversation earlier with Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, and Mel, of course, dropped by as well. We've been following the story from Baton Rouge, really ugly story down there, broken by the Baton Rouge Advocate. And we have one of the reporters on about new allegations have surfaced about an old allegation involving Les Miles and a young female student intern. And we'll continue to follow that in the coming days. Back to the calls right now, and Corey is in Pensacola. Hello, Corey. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. Thanks you. Thank you.
All right. First-time caller, long-time listener. I'm a diehard Tennessee fan. I just had to have a middle skater in Alabama country. Just calling to see what your thoughts were on Tennessee's offensive and defensive hires they got. And I'll hang up this call.
Yeah, thank you. I feel better. The one thing that Josh Heupel did, not completely, but the majority of his staff he has been with before, either at UCF or at Missouri. And I think that, instead of, some coaches come in and they cherry pick and they go, okay, let me get this guy and that guy, and especially coaches that are unfamiliar with the terrain. He decided to go with what he knows, and I think short term that will pay some dividends. It's interesting. The chancellor at UT today, in an interview, said that she was talking about the NCAA investigation, and she said she did not think the investigation would be concluded before the end of the 21 season. There has been some speculation in Knoxville that the school could potentially self-impose a bowl ban. She did not indicate that today. Now, things can change. Once you get more information, it gives you more ample opportunity to make that determination. But it was more than anything an indication that things are a long way from being over. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jeremy is up next in Georgia. Hello, Jeremy. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I'm a longtime caller and listener, and I just had a quick question for you. I was going to make it easy for you today, and I had a question for my dad. He listened to you, but he works so much, he don't really have the time to call in, so I'm going to ask a question for him for you.
Okay.
And do you think Ole Miss has a chance to be the dark horse in the West this year for real? Or, I mean, I know they always make a lot of noise, and he's a diehard Ole Miss fan, and He actually, you know, went to Oxford and all that. And his name is Eddie Davis. And I just wanted to throw that out there for
you. Well, Eddie, I tell you what, thank you very much. And I'm talking to Eddie now as well as you. But I just took a peek at the Ole Miss schedule. And it's, you know, the Ole Miss schedule is laid out, I think, that gives Ole Miss a chance to have a really good season. You know, you start with Louisville. And, you know, that's a manageable game, and I think the other three are winnable. And then, you know, it's the SEC schedule, as always. Austin Peay, Tulane, at Alabama. Don't like there. At Tennessee, that's a really big game for Lane Kiffin, going back to Knoxville. But it's winnable, and I think that would be a key game to win. LSU at home is an advantage. At Auburn, Liberty is a dangerous game, but I do think dark horse. No, I'm not sure I would go that far, but making noise, Eddie. I think yes, I do like their chances of making some significant noise, and I think Lane has done a really phenomenal job at Ole Miss. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in next with Charles, who is in Jacksonville. Hey, Charles.
Hey, hello there. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Hope you are.
Just wanted to kind of touch base, and again, it's kind of rumors. Way back in the time when Les was involved on the Michigan staff, and he was very highly thought of, and if you remember the situation with Moeller, you know, kind of abruptly leaving,
right?
Which I thought was a mistake, be honest with you, and Lloyd Carr taking over. That's the year Les left. Okay, and there were some rumors, and I don't like to spread rumors, but there were rumors about some discretions that he had with fellow coaching staff members' spouses. So Lloyd Carr did not have a lot of respect for Les, and that's why when that whole Les Miles thing came up about him coming from LSU, which really was a done deal, Lloyd was the one who went to the president and vetoed that whole thing.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
There's no, yeah, and I'll be honest with you, if you look at the Rodriguez thing, they had a committee with Deardorff and Howard and all them and the campus president. Rodriguez wasn't even interviewed. He wasn't even considered. And when Les, all they were doing was waiting for Les to, it was about assistance pay when they broke that news the week of the SEC championship game.
Oh, yeah.
And then Les, remember, came out, did the press conference. Lloyd Carr and the president were down at a conference, I believe it was, and would not sign off. And then all of a sudden Rodriguez calls Michigan because they basically canceled on Les. And Rodriguez never interviewed with the committee. They met him in Toledo and basically signed a deal. That's how he became the coach.
I'd never heard that story. Charles, listen, I have known Les Miles a long time, and I have never heard these rumors until recently. That doesn't mean that I'm out there looking for coaching rumors, but a lot of times you do get a sense. So what you've said is very interesting, and it doesn't bode well for Les, though. I will tell you that.
Well, I mean, think about. I mean, he was very highly respected, you know, on Bo, and with
right.
Moeller. And the left, and it was very quiet while he left. And then there were kind of rumors, but when the LSU thing came up with him coming back, I can tell you, and you remember it was Herb Street who broke the
news. Oh, yeah, he sure did. Right on ESPN
and
that morning.
And Desmond Howard was on the committee and let Kirk know and was pretty upset from what I understand. And it was a done deal, and they were going to announce after the SEC championship game. And, you know, it was just a matter of assistance. But Lloyd totally kiboshed that with the college president over the selection of
that
the
is
committee.
Now, by the way, Lloyd at that time, was he stepping down? I can't remember the sequence.
He was the coach that had, yes, sir, he had retired.
Okay.
They had the search, and they had a committee, and the committee recommended, and it was – I'm telling you, it was a done deal.
No. I do remember. I'll never forget Les Miles, his press conference that day when, you know, he was standing up for his team.
That was about 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning,
right,
the day of the game.
No, no.
If I'm not mistaken.
No, you're 100% correct.
And if I, and if you look at it, I can even tell you, I believe it was Lloyd and the president, because Lloyd was going, remember, was going to become the athletic director.
Right.
And he was in Miami. They were in Miami and would not take calls from the committee. And so Les was upset and basically said, you know, to hell with you. And, you know, and of course LSU upped the money for him and so forth. So good for him. And, you know, and I have nothing against Les. I'm just saying this story's been out there for a number of years. And, you know, and he ended up staying at LSU, and Rodriguez by, I think, if you look at the history, I think by Wednesday of the next week, Rich Rodriguez.
Yeah, no, Charles, hey, thank you very much. What you say sounds very, very real, and I'm sure it is. More on Les Miles' problems from LSU days. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. We've already talked to one of the reporters who broke that story today in Baton Rouge. Nothing yet from Jeff Long at KU. And we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we welcome you back. Final couple of minutes of our third hour, and Caden is up next. Good afternoon, Caden.
Hi, Paul.
Hey there.
I just wanted to talk to you about, you know how last year Alabama missed the playoffs, or the year before last.
Right.
They missed the playoffs, and they people were saying, oh, the all the dynasty's over and stuff, and it kind of felt relieving to win an all-SEC schedule undefeated and then win the national championship. But I was going to ask you, with all this, most of our star players going on to the NFL that really took us there, how do you see us doing next year?
Well, Caden, I think I predicted Alabama to win the national championship for about 12 straight years, so I'm always pretty high on the Tide. I do think there is a possibility of a slight step backwards next year, and I say that, you know, not sure who is going to beat them, but, you know, am I talking about, you know, Miami in the opening game? I think Alabama can handle that, but, you know, where are the pitfalls? You know, you have a new quarterback who I assume is going to be good, but that's, you know, is he going to be as good as the last three? There's so many, you know, we just got through talking to Mel Kiper. I mean, the amount of talent leaving this program is enormous. You know, where are the tricky games? I can tell you right now, at Florida is tricky, at A&M. So, I think those are two games that, you know, are losable. I'm not making predictions on February 24th.
Yeah.
But I do think those are very dangerous games. Auburn next year, I do not expect to be at the same level as Auburn has been in recent years, although I don't need to tell any Alabama fan about playing at Auburn. And then, you know, if Alabama gets to the championship game, you know, what does Georgia look like? So there are three, last year I didn't see Alabama losing a game. I thought the Georgia game might be a little more interesting than it turned out to be. But, you know, next year, I do think there are a couple of very dangerous games until we get a good look at what Alabama looks like. We know the recruiting has been fantastic, but the talent drain to the NFL draft is unprecedented. We will take a break. We want you to give us a ring if you have time at 855-242-7285. We'll also preview tonight's SEC basketball schedule. All of that straight ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships,
your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.